This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Rabbi Lapiansky, for joining us here in Southeast Hebrew Congregation in these very, very busy days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot to share some Devei Torah and David Chizuk about the approaching Yom Tov of Sukkot. We really appreciate the Rosh Yeshiva giving of his time and being willing to come and share Torah with us. Yashar Koyach.
It's wonderful to be here, to be able to learn a little bit with Olam. Rav Hutner used to say that standing is a speech and sitting is learning. So since I haven't done much learning yet this morning, I don't feel comfortable to say a speech. We can sit and learn together. That's that we can do together for sure. I'd like to do a shtickle on Sukkot. It's from Siv Sichaim. Siv Sichaim is Reb Chaim Friedlander. Reb Chaim Friedlander was from Rav Dessler's big Talmidim in Eretz Yisrael. Reb Chaim Friedlander was born in Germany, but they came to Israel just basically when he was a baby, right with the war. He was a big Talmud of Rav Dessler. He had a tremendous yad in the Ramchal and his Sfarim, Kabbalah part of it. He helped put out a lot of Sfarim, got a lot of Sfarim put out. It was a big yad in it. He unfortunately was nifta young in 1986. He was probably 63 or something like that at that age. It was chaval d'avdim because he had a tremendous ability to give out the inyanim in a way that shavuach al nefesh, like Rav Dessler did. Rav Dessler also in Kelm, the Adam Sairis, to learn Ramchal Sfarim, even the Kabbalah Sfarim, and so on. And he had the ability to give it out. And his Sfarim are taking ideas and translating them into language that are understandable, and so on. So you know that the ideas are emes; they come from the shoshim of Torah, and yet they're able to, you're able to assimilate it, you're able to make sense of it. So here's a shtickle on Sukkot, on a particular angle of Sukkot. We'll start with it. There's a chazal and we'll talk. B'sukkot teish v'shivas yomim, l'man yedid or asechen ki b'sukkot eshavtev stei Yisrael b'itziyo yisomeretz mitzrayim. So there's a chazal go through different reasons for the time for Sukkot. Rav Bulman mentions a very busy time, like to stick it in together, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So a lot of Chazal and why it is like that. There's, the following is another Chazal. Nema b'psikra of Kahana, b'psikra chrisa de Sukkis, b'ospecha migornach miyikvecha, omra blazma morin, loma ana oisim sukkach Yom Kippur, loimalacha, shekein at moitza shashana shakashbacha boy oilam, Yom Kippur is chaisam sadin, Shema yotza dinim sheiso legolus, vadei kein oisim suka vegoilem ibateam le suka, vakashbrochum malalem kilogol lebavu. So there's an inyan of a kapar of golus. So the inyan of suka is something that carries in itself an element of possible golus, which is one of the ifane kapara, novenod by Kayan. Was already Golos was a kapara. You find Golos in Eretz Yisrael b'Shoigeg and so on. So Sukkis, the tircha of wandering out of your house, carries in itself the element of Golos as a kapara. So the question is, what? So Adam Gan Eden was more that he doesn't belong in Gan Eden. In other words, it was hafkor from Gan Eden. It's one thing when you have to, there's one thing when you're moving from a very nice house to a small, schlacky, whatever room. There's also the idea that you just, even if you go to a hotel that's five star, if you're in Golis. I knew somebody many years ago who was involved in some sort of struggle with an organization, worked for whatever it was, he had a fallout, and they ended up putting him up in a very fancy hotel. They find his job and he was there for a year and he was ois mensch because not having a home. So there's the one Indian going to a nice home, like out of Gan Eden to someplace else. Not having a home and being stuck, even if it's fancy, if it's not your place, it's galus. So he's going to try and understand what avera are we talking about, and what's the inyan of the, where's the galus, the mechapen, so on. This he's going to discuss. Okay, so he brings, I'm going to skim through this next paragraph. He brings the inyan of tshuva, he brings from Rabbeinu Yonah, ha'ika shvi, ha'kniya b'chol lev v'shiflus, that kniya, hachna is one of the elements of tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah is quite famous, Rabbeinu Yonah. I want to talk a little bit about it and understand it. So, you know, it seems intuitive. Yes, and a lot of the Yinuyim that we have in Yom Kippur, you're mutchazach, you don't eat, you're standing the whole time, and you, so it sort of is mailed a certain a person sort of feels disposed towards tshuva. I want to try to explain why. Every avera is defined by an interaction between two entities. You told me not to do it, and I did it. I did it, and you're upset with it, and so on. In other words, every bad, wrong is an interaction. If I am strong with myself, so Lamashal, in my relationship as a parent to a child, as a teacher to a student, and so on, I tend to be confident with myself, and therefore I'm not easily given to apologize. I'm not easily given to think I made a mistake. The relationship is in the nature of where I feel very comfortable and confident with myself, and you did wrong. I can try to be a little bit, but I'm not going to admit so quick that I did wrong. Every person, klap HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when a person feels very confident with himself, very comfortable with himself, is not easily given to tshuva. An example, by Bar Kochva, when he told Ribbono Shel, he said, "You just stay out of the way. I'll take care of it myself. I don't need you to help me. I just need you to not go against me." That was the beginning of the end, or that was the end in a certain sense. In other words, to be makir in chet requires a person understand himself vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's always that personal element. If a person feels good and smug about himself, then tshuva doesn't come easy. If a person feels broken and a person feels humbled, then he begins to own up to avaris and so on. So anything that affects a person's sense of self and self-confidence helps him move towards tshuva. So the hachna that's a prerequisite for tshuva includes that sense of once I break myself, it's a zifcha lekim ruach nishbaro, leiv nishbar v'nitke lekim leisibze. So anytime a person approaches HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a sense of being broken, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more likely to accept this tshuva because it's genuine. A person understands that, you know. So even if a person recognizes that he did an aveira objectively and knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can punish you, but if you don't have that sense of being broken, humbled, your charot is not genuine. So achna is a prerequisite for that. Last paragraph here. Echo the eitzes like Boris HaKnia, he agolos. Ki kol zman sh'odo mi mekoimoi koshav HaKnia. Ach kishe goylo mi beisei umarz amodoi chosh umarishas HaKnia. Let's talk about this point because this point is really the important point over here. The morale says that when a place is not only a mikridika location. In other words, a place goes into defining the person himself. It's a reason that he says why by a get, you need to have the place of the person. In a regular shtar, when you write, I lent money from so-and-so, or I bought this house from so-and-so, It's just a question of Bezdin identifying the parties. It's not a document that Be'etzim does something, and therefore, as long as Bezdin knows who Reuven ben Yaakov is, it's good enough. I don't need to write addresses unless it needs to help identify the person, but I don't Be'etzim need it. In a shtar gerushin, in a get, writing the place is of paramount importance, and a lot of the problems with Gittin is writing the places. That becomes the issue. When they stop writing Gittin in Washington, D.C. and started writing in Silver Spring, being able to write the name correctly, and there are all different elements, which river it's on and so on, became a critical piece. I was involved in writing the letters to Reb Nissim Karelitz and someone else in Eretz Yisrael, two big rabbanim, to give their opinion about how to write the name. So Morel says, because to truly define a person, you need to have the makom. And in a get, because it's a shtar, it's a document that in an essential way cuts the gerushin. It's not just an agreement. I agree that I'm selling you the house. You gave me the money. I gave you the house. So I don't, all it is proof. But a get is something that somehow creates that, It cuts that relationship in a way that's essential. And that's something that can only be done when you have the person defined to his essence, which is the place. You find the Moshe Rashi says in Shlach, Yesh Eretz Megadelas Giboirim, Eretz Megadelas Chaloshim. There are countries, there are locations that breed strong people, locations that breed weak people. And because each makom has a certain, it has a certain school to it, and it creates a certain type of person. So for a person, location is extremely important. The Gemara says, for instance, that Yor Dayam, that sailors who sail, they don't have Yishva Das till they don't land on earth. On solid earth, it's a solid land. So you can be in a top line cruise ship, which it costs tens of thousands of dollars, and you're not Yishuv Das. You land and you come to a simple apartment, and all of a sudden you have Yishuv Das, because that's the nature of a person. If there's no makom, there's no yishuv hadas. So as water is mufka from a makom, it's just not a place. It's placeless. You can't stand in any one place. So people, even if the accommodations are phenomenal and there's no physical problems, there's no makom, and a person has no yishuv hadas. When you're on land, you have yishuv hadas. So being in land and having your own makom is something which gives you Yishva Das, gives you Metzias. The Chayim Kosev HaRambam, second page, Midarkei HaTshuva V'goylem Mimekoymoy Shebegolos Mechaperes Ovim Neshegormos Leikonavos Anabashav Ruach. So he writes, one of the methods used for a person to do tshuva is to go from place to place. And because it causes a person to feel humbled. A lot of stories. The Goyen went in Golos for a tkufa. He went from town to town. It was part of a certain tikkun. And the tikkun is because it makes a person, it takes away a person's sense of self and self-confidence if he doesn't have a place that's his. If he has to keep going from place to place, it takes away from a person's sense of self-confidence and so on. Okay, so now he says there is actually two elements, two positive elements in that sense of wandering. Milas akniya yesh la shtei ponim. Hargosha shein adam roi leklum. One, a person has a sense that he himself, there's no entitlement. It's not my land and my place and, you know, essentially it's, you know, I'm not entitled. Days, hakorah shekol matzeh shel adam enokat sechosel lamat shemayim. that everything he has is Matnas Shamayim. I want to segue a minute to something I think is an important insight. What he's saying here is that your sense of not having a place is on first step is something that is very difficult. It means that the person loses a sense of self and place. He loses his foothold. He also gains a sense of chasti shemayim, which means that the person is be'etzem b'yadav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to talk about something about Zionism and explain what the difference, what the fine difference was between where there was a mistake and where there was an emes. That Klal Yisrael belongs in Eretz Yisrael is so axiomatic that it doesn't need to be spoken about. No one can deny that. From Bereishis, that starts the first Rashi about the reason why it starts with Bereishis is so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Eretz Yisrael, you know, no one can list until the end. So that is as posh as possible. What's not understood is the distinction of what Bulgaria is to Bulgarian and what Eretz Yisrael is to us. Umas Olam are in a lower madrega, and just like zebras thrive in the jungle in Africa, a Bulgarian thrives in Bulgaria, and a Frenchman thrives in France. That's his makom, and you know, and just like there are plants that are native to a certain place, like we said before, every place has its school and so on and so forth. Klal Yisrael is mufka from that, and Klal Yisrael is Hashem unachlasai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's arms. Now, that is the feeling we're supposed to have when we're in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is, our relationship to Yisrael is supposed to carry in itself the same sense of we're on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wings as to another person, to a Frenchman, France as just being a kind of natural place. It's a very different angusha. So to look at Eretz Yisrael as being the same to us as France is the Frenchman is not getting what Eretz Yisrael is. Eretz Yisrael is a place of ashkacha, which means part of being in your place is a sense of status quo. We're here, we've been plowing this land, we've been planting potatoes, we've been harvesting potatoes, we will harvest potatoes, and that's it. Us, the land, the potatoes, and status quo. You know, Mashahoya or Mashahia. Eretz Yisrael is a place of Ashkacha, which means every year we have to justify our being there. And when we justify our being there, we're in a very different Madrego. We're on Kalfin Sharm. We're in Biyar of Shakarish Baruch Hu. It's a very different sense of it. So the golos that's mechaper, the golos that we talk about. So many terrible things have happened when we've been in golos, but the overriding factor is our just not being in our place, which causes us to realize we don't have a place. We have only one place, and that's Biyar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It just shows where that happens. But our place is that. I once read many years ago, it must have been in the 60s, someone wrote a book about guerrilla warfare and when it's effective, when it's ineffective, and so on. I don't guess the answer stays with you, I guess. I don't know. but there was a very, his point, I think it was called The War to Flee, and I think it was mandatory reading for army officers. This was at a time when many guerrilla organizations were winning. And his point was that a very crucial part of winning is that the native population has to want these guerrilla people and they have to feel they're at home. In other words, he pointed, I think, two wars that weren't effective. And he said, Kolzman, that the people, this is their place. You can kill them, you can harm them, but you can't take over. as long as it's not your place and is their place, you're like Afghanistan, we just saw, same thing. So Klal Yisrael going into Golus, the first and foremost, we've been prey because we have no makom, and Eretz Yisrael is not the makom. Hashem is the makom. Hashem chose Eretz Yisrael. It's there because this is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us and wants us to be. But understanding that it's not for granted, and just being in that place without a Kaddish Baruch Hu is not going to do it for us. So two things come out when a person goes to Golus. One, a certain sense of personal achnoah, and two, a sense of whatever he does have, the makom he has, or whatever he has, is not Kaddish Baruch Hu. And he brings a very interesting parallel. He says, "Kimoshen maskim b'tfila ribayin kolam loitzes kasein alchupir danu fecha kerecha rabim me'onu mechayeni mechasei mitzitkeinu alu kolaborika infanecha Hashem tlehoyacham v'klimado v'acharkach mamshichim avol anachnu amcha bnei visecha me'avarm afcha Hashem matev lokeinu." So here's the hovin. So we got up, we said, we're nothing, we're nobody, nothing, nothing, nothing. But we're great people. Like you know, if somebody once wrote, I saw a sefer, somebody wrote a sefer on Baba Kama, and he said in his akdama, this is many years ago, I don't remember, unfortunately, it's because I'm looking for it. He writes, "I'm not writing akdama." Why? Because there's a standard formula for akdamas. It starts with, "I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody, I'm, you know, killer hoya," and it ends with a sefer like this in Baba Kama has never before been written. That's the usual. So he said, "I don't believe I'm a nothing. I don't believe a sefer like this hasn't been written. So I have nothing to write nakdam. I can't write the anachnu, you know, and I don't have either one I can write." So I understand. We say Ribbono Shel Olam, we're nothing, nothing, nobody. Avol, wow, we're amazing. So what does that mean? Yesh la'av na'achshav ma'ana shekol hovel. Ma'ana sif ma'av na'achav ma'isecha. Habiyahu. Onu, im kol ma'aloyseinu polaseinu akol hevel. Ha'chochma agur eina meitonu. In other words, the one leads to the other. Klal Yisrael is mitzidenu, mitzad atzmenu. We don't have anything. But what we do have is all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. It's like, Lamosha, if I want to thank somebody for something, so it requires two parts. I want to tell them, without your help, I have nothing, and I would be nowhere. With your help, Baruch Hashem, I'm settled, and I'm doing well, and I'm successful, and so on and so forth. So the hachna brings out in a person the second half of it, that a person is a ben mila because of it. Let's see the last paragraph. Simchas Asif. So now let's go back to Sukkot. Chag Sukkot, think about Torah Chag Asif. Mivaya Chinuch, she Asif v'Asif v'Zanzich v'Seinu, v'zel shoyin, l'fi she'imei Chag imei Simcha Gol Yisrael, ku eis Asif v'Satvu ha'peris yilom bayis, v'oz Yisruchu b'nei Adam Simcha Rabo, v'nei k'niku Chag Asif. V'tziva ke la'amu l'asis Chag bo Yisrael, l'zakoysam l'yos ikas Simcha l'shmoy. So, Asif is the time when a person feels strongest about how wealthy he is, how fortunate, how wealthy he is. What for us is money in the bank, in those days, it was wheat in the silo. So a person has worked very hard for almost a year. And finally, this is the moment, this is his wealthiest moment, his high point. From this point onwards, the rest of the winter is just using up the stock that he has. So it doesn't have that sense. Right now, the silo is bursting with crops. Our bank account is bursting with money. That's what's happening at this moment, Chagos. So it's an incredible moment of having, and it's something which, on the one hand, can cause a person to feel smug about himself. The opposite of Kania is something which is a sense of self entitlement, you know, status quo. So the Torah juxtaposed Yom Kippur which is a very ruchnistic time, Kol Koli Ruchnius, with this Chag HaOsif, which it's the moment when a person feels the least inclined to be ruchni. I feel very good about myself. You're very full of myself. So the Torah bids us to go out into the simplest accommodation. The word psilas goyim v'yakev means the junk that the farmer throws away. In other words, the grain that I have, the kernels of wheat that I have in my silo is my wealth. And that makes me feel who I am. The stuff that I get rid of, I can't get rid of quickly enough. There's halachas about when you winnow the stuff, it's mazik other people and raksa and so on. It's stuff you're trying to get rid of and you don't know where to get rid of it. So the Torah said this becomes your makom dira. Pseilas gerem v'yakev. Yes, we learn from it halachas about gedule karka and so on, but it's called pseilas gerem v'yakev. But also ganachom yikvecha from the junk. I want to add something apropos to this, similar apropos, when the Moshiach of Klal Yisrael, the one that will eventually be Goyal Klal Yisrael and is the one that's mashlin the Gula and the Merkav and every possible is David HaMelech. So Chazal speak, the Arizal speaks about how it is that David HaMelech comes from the lowest parts from all the difficult moments, whether it's Tamar, whether it's Rus, and so on. And he speaks about that the Satan tries very hard to eliminate any possible geula for Klal Yisrael, and this is sort of sneaking in the back door. No one could think that in the Maaseh Tamar there would be something like that. No one could think of Moav and Rus and all these places. This is where the geula should be born. That's how he talks about it, and it's quite famous. There's another nekuda. It says that when Shmuel came to look for who be next Melech, he was told Yishai has a son that's suitable. Yishai was a very chashuv person. It says Yishai was one of four people who died without a virus. So Yishai is very chashuv. Today they would even say yes, Ruach HaKadosh. I'm sure that nobody would not believe it's Ruach HaKadosh. And Shmuel came and he said, Reb Yishai, I've got good news for you. One of your seven sons is Melech Yisrael. And he tried it out his oldest son, and Akash Baruch Hu said, nice, not him, not him, not him, not him. And the one, and David HaMelech, who he didn't think was much of anything, that's, you know, Shmuel had to ask him, tell me, you sure you've got everybody? So there's another kid out there hanging out with the sheep, call him in, and he's the one. What's the pshat in that? I think the pshat in that is, it means that it's mufka, it's clearly kol kuloi ruach Hashem. It's clearly, whatever we feel comfortable about means it's something that's coming because, yeah, we can rely on him. He's somebody we can rely on. I see it, is that, it, that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is out of the picture in a certain sense. And obviously, we're talking about very high people. In order for it to be totally, the melech, is the means for bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Hanhaga into Klal Yisrael. And had the Melech himself been subscribed to as someone who is Chashev and so on, it takes away. So people sort of, it's the Melech. In this sense that we didn't understand, David HaMelech was Kol Kuli Batal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We didn't have that sense. That could be helpful for this. And so on. And the Ebenezer says, "Can you tell Hashem a niska lemaila laoyav eshein aderch mesukas nasayvid? V'hinei atam k'akol nigzem hashemayim ulekol yitin Hashem kashe goza loy k'machsheves adam rutzasoi v'igosav tapoloisav." So there's a sense of being relying kuloi on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Zuya Golos Asuka. There's the Brisker Rav, when he got married, was given Naden, a block of houses in Warsaw, and he would live off the rent. Somewhere, either someone cheated him out of it, or he lost it. Whatever it was, he lost it. Years later, he said, people think that a sure source of income, a comfortable sure source of income, is a row of houses in Warsaw. And the emes is, Shara Bitochu Chavis Alvavis, is a sure source of parnasa. That's a comfortable, reliable source, something along those lines. In other words, you have to be mafkia from Kal Yisrael, the idea that it's the Goyin and Yekev, and understand that it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it can come through the Pesilus also. Umashe Kosov, Zuya Golosh al Sukkah, Hayetziya Mebayis, Lachses Mitzvah Menusa. When we're in the Sukkah, the only thing that we can sense is this Sukkah is not protection. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing more to the Sukkah. It's the cheapest, lightest thing. It's only a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Lehake kol ma shezichin al osim ha-zichin le-tor b'yam kippur, ha-kol ma'ata shemayim. U'ma she-kosov b'psik te-shven al-el, she-yishiv ha-suki b'mkoyim golos, yitochon le-farashim onu b'matzav zeh, she-shoyish chata'inu chisorin ha-kniya, that's where we're misakin it with this. So basically, the golos is a tikkun for this type of issue. Yeah.
It's strange, right? The minute we go into Sukkah, it's like Bu'ula. Like, Golos usually means you're going away from the Shekinah. We're going to play
Sukkah. So let's look at the next piece that he says. Ha-goshas ha-knif ha-kosh baruch ha-kosh ha-kosh baruch hi ha-mekoyr ha-yochad ha-simcha mitis. Ki kol zman sh'amateach b'koychoy miskayim boi v'asev v'lo sh'amich l'ishon. Marav chosim ha-rabba daiga. Ha-kish oda ma'agish k'nif ha-kosh baruch hu ha-yedeya ma'akoy fanat ha-seoysov z'amakash b'toch ha-zim sh'amafs. Let's talk about this point, because this is a very important point. A person has different things that give comfort. I open up my bank book and I see I have a Baruch Hashem, a lot of resources, and I feel very, very comfortable with it. I go to the doctor for checkup and check, everything is fantastic, it's wonderful, and so on. And v'chein hala, I have a nice house, comfortable, mortgage paid off. It's insurances on it, so on and so forth. Down deep, I know that nothing is assured. Down deep, something bothers a person because he knows this, that, the other thing. And we know that nothing in this world has ever stood the test of time. And surprises abound. So the only thing that a person can be batuach in is something that is assured and always true. Now he adds a line here. To be batuach na Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't mean that I transfer, well, I have $1 million in my bank account. So you're right. If I trust the bank, maybe the bank will collapse. Maybe the economy will collapse. Maybe this will happen. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu is trusted. And we don't know if he gives interest on the accounts, but he definitely is trusted with the principal and he'll be good. No, we don't trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there'll be money, that will be healthy, anything. We trust that what we need to be there will be there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, maybe I need a rough spell to take out some of my deficiencies. Bitochen, and Chaznish makes this point constantly, Bitochen doesn't mean you project your fantasy on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means you rely on a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you say, "Gam keilach begeitz al mavis le'ira rakat haymadi." A Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's taking me here, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing it for my toelus. Who knows what toelus will be? But the more I have a sense of that, it's true whether I have a sense of it or not. But will I live it or not depends on what my sense is. So the real simcha of a person is when a person's sense is Ratzon Hashem. When a person is fixated on physical items and realities, they'll always need disappointment because nothing. People with, there was somebody who had a heart condition and was nifter at a relative, what's today, young age, this is many years ago, after the shiva, the family was listening to some of the messages on the phone. And one of the messages was from a cardiologist, and he said, "Mr. So-and-so, great news for you. All of your tests came back perfect. Everything is A-OK." I'm serious. This was a true story. And it's true. You could, everything could be A-OK, and then it's not. And the same thing is true with money. I know somebody who is in finance business, and he was very, the olive to him was, you know, hedging everything. And he never did a deal unless it was guaranteed and assured from every side possible. And he was and he had finished dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's on a very great business deal. And he picked up, you know, Monday morning or whenever, he picked up the phone and to call the finance company to send a check. They had contracted, they've been signed, the sealed, it was every side. And the phone answers, Lehman Brothers' phone is out of service. They had just collapsed. This was in 2008, whenever it was, and everything unraveled. Now, somebody to imagine it happening probably couldn't imagine. But again, there's nothing in the world physical that is guaranteed. The only thing that's guaranteed is that Kadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha is there, and it's going for your benefit, and therefore it's moed l'simcha. V'chein matzino etzol David HaMelech al Shalom. Shir amal se David Hashem legav alibi v'le romu enai im loy shivisi b'day mamti nafshi ke gomla imoy ke golay nafshi. David HaMelech al Shalom metaris hagashosoy sh'ayse b'shivyan u'dmama b'mnuchas ha'nefesh. K'moy tinek etzol imoy shemitzad echod ein ha'semech klal ha'asmoy. David HaMelech, when he wants to portray his midas habitochen, he casts himself like a child in his mother's arms. There's a helplessness in the child. There's a lack of understanding what's happening. And yet there's a trust. A mother can be taking him to get an injection. A mother he could be choking, and a mother slaps him strongly to spit out the food. There are many different scenarios where the child doesn't understand, but has extraordinary trust in the mother. And then he brings the Chazal Yerushalmi here. So in all of these in Yonim, David HaMelech felt it's Yad Hashem, it's Tzivu Hashem, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu working through me. So let's just sum up what he said. So Lemaisa, Yom Kippur, and I'm adding this piece, doesn't quite say it, but I think this is in it. Yom Kippur is a day when we're Kulel Hashem, and it's very easy to be kanua, because there is no, we're not eating, we're not drinking, we're not washing, we're completely Hashem. And that a person says, I have nothing but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's very clear. And yes, it's true. But the day after, we're at the height of our physical success. These fields are in, and our sense of well-being and confidence and relying on ourselves is at its strongest. And that's where we need to be able to bring in the basic element that's needed for tshuva into that world. And kniya is that the sense of lack of self is what we bring into it. So by leaving gullus is in a sense uprooting a person's sense of self, uprooting a sense of confidence. What everyone knows, whenever you're traveling, you don't feel as confident when you come to another city, when you come to another country. You can, you don't feel as comfortable and as confident because there's a lack of place and lack of self. That's what happens when going to sukkah. But if a person understands it correctly, that our Klal Yisrael's lack of self and place is not an end to itself. It's meant to breed in us a sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our makom, Hashem Unachlosai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shevet Levi lived in the tzel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They didn't have their own possession, but they have Chelek Hashem. When that feeling comes out, it's more than a person, tremendous sense of simcha, because no one can take it away from you. The goyer and a yak can be taken away from you. Everything can be taken away from you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't be taken away from you if you hold on. And no matter where we go with it, no matter what happens, if it's kegomel ha'imoy, if we know that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for us, and whatever might be happening, it's there to change us, to make us into what we need to be, to correct what faults we have, and to give us challenges to bring out the best in us. So then a person knows it'll always be right. And as much as a person is masig and magish, that's a simcha. So on the one hand, the first step of sukkah is a certain difficulty, and it's meant as a hachna, because galus is a difficult situation, and it's meant to be a hachniya person. And in the end, it's something that brings out it brings a true simcha in a person when he understands that, you know, v'samachta v'nei Hashem l'keichem. Simcha comes because a person has a sense of close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holding on to him, and whatever's happening, it's Hashgacha leading a person to bring out the best in himself. Okay, we should be zeicha to have, yeah. Because anything that happens all the time has almost no effect on us. That's the truth. It's things that happen at certain times have a profound effect on us. We get used to shutting out things that happen, you know, constantly. So if you're in Kippur, what happened all the time, it wouldn't be, you know. I remember when I was a young boy, I was in camp. Someone gave us a musa shmuz with an eitzah, maybe from the breast of, I don't remember already. It's a long time ago. That if a person were to think that he's going to die soon, his shmona esrei would be something else. So I tried it, and that shmona esrei was awesome. The second shmona esrei was very good. The third one, at some point, dying wasn't so bad. And you know, and Shmoneh Esrei reverted back to the old Shmoneh Esrei. You know, that's the way things happen. We you know, it's that's the truth. You get used to everything. It's okay. Good. Chag Hashem Sameach, Netz Hashem.